The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good Wednesday morning. Welcome back to Get Up. We are coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. I'm Kevin Nagani filling in, and Greeny has the day off. At least he has the morning off. We've got plenty more to cover here around the NFL. And let's start here with Aaron Rodgers. Are you kidding me? Does anyone want him besides Green Bay? You literally aren't going to believe what the Packers GM had to say. Plus, Mike McCarthy making it clear that he's getting tired of being asked one question in particular. You'll hear what that is. And Russell Wilson making it clear where he wants to play. Or did he? We get to the bottom of that big question. But we're going to start with our game of the night. Lakers hosting the Mavericks. My man Marcus Spears joining us on this highlight with Luka in town in L.A. And early on, first quarter, Lakers up by three. You see the defense here, Luka. And then on the break, Marcus, how about the vision?
Listen, Kev, he got eyes everywhere. I don't need to see you to see you. Just throw it up around the rim, and we're going to go get it. This is Luka at his finest. And then, oh, my God, Kev. Hey, Dwight Howard, don't get caught slipping. I lost 15 pounds, dog. I can jump now. Luka with the dump over Dwight Howard head. Oh, my man, listen. LeBron said, this is not all about Luka. I'm Logo Bron. I'm going to pull up and make Jeannie Buss very happy. And I'm going to do it again. Double time. Step back. I'm going to make this a game, Luka. Y'all forgot I'm the king. But the young man just had too much. Kev, this right here, this is 10-year NBA basketball. The step fade away, jumper Luka on Bron. Bron is a really good defender. Attack the up foot. I try to teach my son this all the time. Floater over Taylor Harden Tucker. The dude is too real, bro. He too real.
Until you stump me out, cut my head off, bury me 12 feet under, then I got a chance. So that's my confidence. As long as we got more games to play, we still have a chance. You know, I hate losing. I feel like poop right now. But tomorrow's a new day, and I'm going to be prepared and ready for the Clippers on Thursday. But that's my mindset. That's just who I am.
I just want to celebrate Marcus Spears. That was an incredible highlight read. Like, you talk about just laying out. And people don't know, back in high school, he was one of the best players in the state of Louisiana. My man could ball on the court and on the field. Well done by you. You know basketball. By the way, if you know the Lakers, you know they're in trouble. Last time the Lakers were at 500 was exactly 5 weeks ago. Since then, 3-10, now essentially locked into the play-in tournament. And that is if they make the playoffs. L.A. just two games up on the Pelicans and Blazers for that final spot. Marcus doing it all here this morning on Get Up. We'll get his thoughts on the NFL in a moment. Let's get to the topic here. The Packers still waiting on Aaron Rodgers to make a decision about his future. Yesterday, Green Bay's GM Brian Gutekunst was asked if he expects Rodgers to make his intentions known before free agency opens up on March 16th.
I would hope so, yeah. I think that's obviously start of the new league year. There's a lot of decisions that have to be made before that. So that would be helpful. But, I would think we would know something before then.
All right, Gutekunst was also asked if the other 31 NFL GMs here have been asking him to keep them in mind when it comes to Rodgers' future in Indy. Listen to this.
Not at all, Tom. Not at all. Not a single person.
All right, I mentioned Indy because that's where all the action is, the NFL Combine, and that's where Jeff Darlington and Mike Tannenbaum join us, as well as Marcus Spears. So, Jeff, what do we know about teams reaching out about Rodgers?
Well, look, Kevin, I think we can read his face there. There are teams that are clearly interested in Aaron Rodgers. That's what I continue to hear here in Indianapolis. But we also need to be very clear about something. Aaron Rodgers is not on the trade market, and these other teams know that. So, yes, they can make it very clear. If Aaron tells you that he's not coming back, give us a call. We're ready to talk, and we're willing to give the type of compensation you would perhaps covet. But to be very clear, this is still trending toward Aaron Rodgers returning to Green Bay. He's basically said to Green Bay, like, look, we got to get these things done. And Brian Gutekunst is working toward getting them done. And I know what's going to happen next. Swaggu is going to take the mic and he's going to go crazy. And he's going to say, we got to get it done. We got to get it done. But look, give it some time. It's March 2nd. There's nothing happening
right
now.
How much damn time do you
need? Swaggu. Take a deep breath, Swaggu. It's going to be okay, babe.
No. Marcus, how much time do you think he needs?
None. None. Jeff Darlington, I do not care what you just said. None. We've been talking about this for a year. You don't think Aaron, so what y'all want me to believe is that Aaron Rodgers waited until they lost the NFC playoff game against the 49ers and then start thinking about if he was going to come back to Green Bay or not? This is so we can continue to talk about this dude, okay? That's all it's about. Aaron Rodgers likes the attention. He knows what he's going to do. My problem is, I don't care what anybody says. We talking about time. No, your timeline affects other players. Your timeline affects what this franchise and organization can do from a financial standpoint and also from a team building standpoint. We got to remember, y'all, like we all have this utopia about Aaron Rodgers back in Green Bay. That's the best place for him. They're going to win a Super Bowl. It ain't happened the last 3 years. We done watched it. This team needs to understand what he's doing. They need to know what he's doing. Maybe they do know, Jeff. Maybe I'm overreacting. Maybe they talking behind the scenes and Aaron has already told Green Bay he's going to come back. And maybe he just want us to keep talking about it. But I will say this. If he hasn't, and we are here in March 2nd, because remember, other dudes are in the equation. It would be different if we were just talking about a sole individual situation that wasn't going to impact the Green Bay Packers. And I gave Aaron Rodgers love a few weeks ago or about a month ago when he said, I'm not going to draw this out. I'm going to make a decision so the Green Bay Packers can move on and other guys can know what they need to do. Bro, you've been in this spin cycle for a year, almost 2 years. You don't know what you're about to do yet. So everybody else can start kind of going about their business and figuring out what their future going to look like. Yeah. That's where I am with it. Aaron Rodgers got to make the best decision for Aaron Rodgers, other dudes are involved in this.
Jeff, you want to jump in real quick? It sounds like you want to jump in.
I do,
Mike,
very quickly.
We'll
first of all, I want Aaron Rodgers to make a decision quickly for the sake of your health, Swaggu. Like, we need you to make it through this, and I feel the stress is really
bro, brilliant. It's about the other players, so, Jeff.
Hold on, but this is what I'm going to say. What if it is about the other players? What if it is Aaron Rodgers who cares so deeply about his locker room and those other guys that he's saying, I want to make sure those guys get their deal done because my leverage right now is the best leverage for them as well. If I say we got to get Devontae Adams done before I commit to you, guess what? Now the pressure is on the team to get Devontae Adams done. Same with Randall Cobb. Same with some of these other guys.
100% agree.
Maybe Aaron Rodgers is doing this for those guys. I'm not trying to make him sound like Batman here, like he's doing charity work. But look, I think that this is a situation where maybe the timing has something to do with that.
Okay, well, let's get our GM in here, and that is, of course, Mike T. And, Mike, now you have to handle all this, and you've got to deal with the roster and adjustments with other salaries as well to get Aaron Rodgers in. How are you handling it? What's your approach?
Yeah, Swaggu is 1,000% right. We're at the combine right now, which is the equivalent of baseball's winter meetings. This is where all the deals start happening. And that's why Aaron Rodgers is being selfish. If he's saying, I'm back, they're going to run the same play the Saints did. They're going to kick all these cap charges down the road. They're going to bring back Randall Cobb, Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith. A lot of those guys don't have guaranteed money. So, Kevin, if you're a player with not having any guaranteed money, you'd rather know that if you're not coming back on March 2nd than March 16th, where more teams have more money than any other time during the season, and those conversations are happening right now in Indy. So, as Swaggu said, Aaron Rodgers probably knew on Halloween, Thanksgiving, the end of the season, what he was going to do. He needs to tell Green Bay so they can move accordingly, and until he lets them know that, they're sort of just kind of waiting, and they can't react one way or the other.
Yeah, Packers fans have gone through
Jeff Darlington.
Go ahead.
Kev, Jeff Darlington fell into the web. He's in the web. He on here making excuses. Well, maybe he's waiting for Devontae Adams, and maybe he's doing it for the betterment of the players. The bottom line is this, bro. The bottom line is this. when you have the type of cachet and the impact that Aaron Rodgers has on this franchise, determining how they're going to move forward with their future, your decision makes an impact on everything they do. That's the ultimate point that I want to make.
Let's get the, you out of the web here, Jeff.
He's got
go
a beard
ahead.
Because you'd see the veins coming out of his neck. He, look, hey, I just want you to stay healthy. You seem stressed.
In my
man.
Head.
Like, I just,
honestly, I was just about to say,
I'm
though.
I'm stressed because of you, Jeff Darlington.
I was.
Because of you.
You, it's because of you. It's
I'm
not because of
because
Aaron.
Of you.
It's because of you, Jeff Darlington. That's why.
No,
that's the reason why. Send him something from St. Elmo's, all right, Jeff?
So
that'll
nice.
Please
He's
Marcus. That's what he needs
else.
Right now from Indy. Because honestly, the Packers and their fan base, they've gone through this the last two decades. This is the Brett Favre scenario all over again, right, where Brett Favre held the entire franchise hostage and Ed Werder was camping outside of his house in Mississippi for an entire summer waiting. Is there a time factor here that Jeff, you don't seem to be worried about in the next week or two of that a decision? Because, again, we're 2 weeks away from free agency.
I think it's going to happen, I guess is my other point. Like, I think it's going to happen in the next few days. In the words of Aaron Rodgers, R-E-L-A-X. Relax. It's going to happen, fellas. Mm. Relax.
Okay.
Yeah. But y'all told
sent.
Us to relax,
hey, Mike,
too.
Mike, you want to weigh in on this, by the way,
the
as, dealing with this? Because you've dealt with Brett Favre and the situation with the Jets as well.
Yeah, ironically, when I was a GM of the Jets, we were on the other side of those Ed Werder campouts, and we want to know, but something very fundamental here, like when we cut right through guys, like Aaron Rodgers knows what he's doing. Like, what is he going to know on March 3rd that he doesn't know on March 2nd? So to me, like,
right.
If you want to be the selfless leader about helping your teammates, just let us know what you're doing. Like, let's just cut through it all. Like, there's nothing he's going to know in 48 hours he doesn't know today, and those meetings are happening right now between agents and GMs. Like, every day that goes by, he is hurting his teammates. I want to be really clear of that. I've done it for over 20 years. Those meetings are happening right now. He could be taking meaningful dollars out of his teammates' pocket.
By the way, this isn't just
Mike
Aaron
T, Mike T, Jeff Darlington said he being nice. He won't make it so everybody else can get you going, Swaggy.
This isn't just about Aaron Rodgers. This is the power of the star quarterback in the sport. And
I love
you,
Jeff.
That theme continues on this show because coming up, the fuss about Russ. Is he sleepless in Seattle? Does he want to move east? Wait until you hear what he had to say and didn't say about his future. We're talking about Russell Wilson and the Seahawks' future. And what's the deal with Carson Wentz? What should the Colts do with him? It seems like not everyone's on the same page in Indy.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Back here on Get Up, Kevin Agandi filling in for Greeny. Time to run the hurry up with Jeff Darlington, starting with Jimmy G. Jeff?
Let's do it, Kev. Let's talk about Jimmy Garoppolo and the slightly sprained throwing shoulder that is going to wind up requiring surgery. Now, this shouldn't take him too far past the summer. He should be able to start throwing again by early July. And Adam Schefter has also reported that this shouldn't impact his trade value, that they've been transparent about what's happening, and there is still heavy interest in Garoppolo. So we should expect a trade before the full recovery. Daniel Jones, the dreaded words you want to hear. The GM saying, Joe Shane saying, Daniel Jones is our quarterback, .. right now. We know what happens usually after we hear that, but I will tell you that I have talked to Joe Shane about this And he does believe that Daniel Jones is the best fit for the team moving forward. This is a team with a lot of salary cap issues. They want to see what Jones can do. And ultimately, it does look like he will be the starting quarterback week one in 2022. Dak Prescott, this is a little bit of a surprise. Surgery on his non-throwing shoulder last week. A situation where the team is saying that this is not serious, not a big deal, and he'll be fine, won't impact his ability for, say, training camp, for instance. Of course, though, we know in the past that the timeline that the Cowboys have set forward has caused a little more concern. Last year it happened with his throwing shoulder, but again, we should emphasize this is his non-throwing shoulder, and for now, this team is saying that it is not a major concern.
Okay, we will keep an eye on that in the offseason. You know, let's stay with the Cowboys. When Sean Payton stepped down as the head coach of the Saints back in January, it didn't take long for speculation about Payton replacing Mike McCarthy. And, well, that's the elephant in the room in Indy anytime McCarthy talked to the media.
It's a narrative I don't want to be a part of. I don't think anybody want to be a part of it on either side of the fence. You know, fairness to Sean, he's being asked the questions, but, you know, nothing good comes out of that. But I think you do need to understand that I get to spend a lot of time with Jerry, you know, both as the owner and as the GM. So he addressed it. You know, we laughed about it and moved on. And that's really where it is.
What kind of laugh? That could be a nervous laugh, especially in March, because this question's... Look at Marcus. Marcus, it's coming your way, and we're in March. You're going to get this after every Cowboys loss starting in September. This cloud that hangs over McCarthy this upcoming season. How do you see this playing out with Sean Payton in the conversation?
I think he'll be the coach in a year or two for the Dallas Cowboys, Sean Payton. Woo. All right? And listen... Here's the thing, too. Let's go back to the initial hire. Y'all remember Jerry Jones had Mike McCarthy over at his house? And they was, like, working on this negotiation. And he was like, this is our guy. We're going to get it done. And then they have this press conference. And then after this season, we hear Jerry say the team didn't get better, and that's on the coach, and pointing the finger squarely at Mike McCarthy. And then remember when Dan Quinn was potentially leaving as a head coach and Jerry said, ooh, I'm so glad that he's back because of the progress that they made. See, Jerry got this man fooled. Mike McCarthy fooled. What y'all just saw was a coach that is fooled himself in this National Football League. And I get it. Mike McCarthy is supposed to stay optimistic. He's a Super Bowl champion winning coach. But let Sean Payton say he want to be the Dallas Cowboys head coach. And McCarthy lose three or four games he's supposed to lose. We'll be sitting here waiting on a press conference. I'll be sitting in New York or in Bristol with a suit on, and we'll be waiting on Sean Payton introductory press conference. That's what we will be doing, okay? And I think that's the future that the Cowboys have.
Okay, now, McCarthy can't control the questions about Sean Payton. That's going to come. Mike, what can he control, though, when he talks about this narrative?
Kevin, here's the answers to the test. I don't care if we're talking about Tom Landry, George Halas, Bill Parcells, Dan Quinn. Be more disciplined. You led the league in penalties. And by the way, the next closest team had 10 less than you do. If you have less penalties, you could be there for a long time. You got an offense, you have a defense now, but your team wasn't disciplined. So it doesn't matter who we're talking about, but have your team have less penalties, have a detailed plan for it, and all this other noise goes away.
Jeff, what are you hearing in Indy about this? You were part of the media there that are meeting with the coaches and meeting with the executives. What are you hearing about this conversation that will not go away? I don't care what day of the year it is. It's still going to be there if Sean Payton is unemployed.
I'm with Swagoo on this one, and I'm not just agreeing so he doesn't fight me after that last segment about Aaron Rodgers. But look, this is more a situation where not only is it about Sean Payton, but don't forget about Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator, who Mike McCarthy delivered exact same comments about, it's not a narrative I want to be a part of. It's not questions that Dan Quinn should have to answer. Literally verbatim, it was like a Mad Libs where they just replaced Sean Payton's name with Dan Quinn, like less than a month ago. So here's the problem. Now you've got two different coaches we're talking about potentially replacing him. It's like when you're the starting quarterback and the team has a backup quarterback behind you breathing down your neck, and the team does nothing really to sit there and say, you know what, this starter, he's going to be our starter for 17, 18 weeks. Instead, he's got that backup breathing down his neck, and we know how that ends every single time. So I'm with Swagoo. This is set up
to
be a situation not great for McCarthy if he doesn't get off to a very hot start in 2022.
Okay, Marcus, give us an idea. Like, you know the Cowboy way. You know what it's like to be there. You know what it's like to work with Jerry and work around those offices. What advice would you give Mike McCarthy right now in the offseason before the games happen?
Put your head down and go to work and correct all of those things that transpired last year. Remember this, y'all. Everything that we talked about with Mike McCarthy clock management, that's how their season ended. And that's what the frustration was with Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones, I'm sure. Stephen is a bit more level-headed. He won't talk as much as Jerry will. But I'm telling you that those dudes looked at that entire season and they said, we actually ended up right where we were at the beginning. And I get it, 12 wins. I'm a victim of it. And yet, yeah, call me and slap me and call me stupid. I was like, the dude won 12 games and these clock management issues won't come about when we get further along the season. And I'm telling y'all, I'm sitting in my damn living room watching the game. And the same thing we talked about on Get Up early in the season was the reason the Cowboys was going home. A part of the reason. Mm-hmm. Offensive stagnant. I gave Kellen Moore his smoke as well because he was not impressive at all. I don't know how that attributes to Mike McCarthy and the type of pressure he put on Kellen Moore to get better as well. This was holistically. Dan Quinn was the isolated guy standing out there saying, this unit is clearly better and championship caliber. Everything else was abysmal and ended exactly how it began, and that's the frustration with Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones, and that's why I think Sean Payton will be the coach at some point.
Somebody buy Mike McCarthy earplugs because he's going to hear about it all offseason. Right. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, we've got something really cool. Check this out. Where the heck is Rob Gronkowski? Mike Tannenbaum, do you have an answer for us? Because we've got some video. What is this?
Boca Raton, Florida, where there's a Gronk, there's a Brady. That's my daughter, Ella, going to be a freshman at Michigan. Her friend, Jordana, they're helping get it ready for free agency. They had to track down Gronk, ask him what he's going to do, and, you know, just helping get ready for free agency. We got Schefter, Darlington, and we have, now we have Ella and Jordana trying to figure out what's going on with Gronk and Brady.
I love it, man. Great smiles.
Mike T must have rented the beach out. It ain't nobody else there.
Ain't nobody
that's
there.
Rich
yeah.
people stuff right
that's
there.
Mike T's private beach.
When you rich. When you rich.
All right. Well done there, by the way. Great to see the family and the daughters. Coming up, Russell Wilson making it clear where he wants to play. Or did he really? Is it time for Seattle to trade him? I have a team that should be on the phone with Seattle right now. I have the team, plus the Hollywood Horror Show. Another rough night for LeBron, the Lakers. Is it possible they won't even make the play-in? Jalen Rose joining us.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Get Up. Kevin Negani filling in for Greeny. Let's play a game called Keep or Trade. Let's start with Marcus Spears. Keep or trade Aaron Rodgers?
Trade. Trade Aaron Rodgers, get into your rebuild, and let Aaron go somewhere else and get an opportunity bowl with all of these things that revolve around this relationship. Everybody could tell me the relationship is great and all of that. I don't believe it. I don't believe it one bit, because you cannot have all of that fight in your marriage and then we just decide, oh, we good now. No, trade the man, get your franchise going in a different direction. Hopefully you can rebuild fast.
Would be a big domino to start things. Mike Tannenbaum, keep or trade Jimmy G?
Kevin, keep, 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 and keep. Mm. Can someone explain this to me? They have a really good football team. We saw teams get decimated at the quarterback position. Why would you weaken a position where you have him and Trey Lance on a really good team for a 17-game regular season? No-brainer, keep them.
Jeff Darlington, keep or trade Russell Wilson?
I can't believe Mike T keeps saying keep Jimmy Garoppolo. Oh, my gosh. All right, we'll move on. Russell Wilson, yeah, you keep him until he comes to you and says, I want out. That's my biggest problem with the whole thing. It's all this tap dancing with Russell Wilson. Do you want out or do you not want out? Because until you absolutely do, and until the Seahawks get the proper compensation, you keep that quarterback in-house. Because guess what? You're not getting better than Russell Wilson right now if you are the Seattle Seahawks.
How about Marcus wanting to trade Aaron Rodgers and then Jimmy G for Mike Tannenbaum? That's his theme. Mike... That's the hill he's going to die on, where he's going to keep him, of course, in San Francisco. Meanwhile, Wilson and his wife, Sierra, were on the Today Show, and they were asked whether or not he would be interested in playing for the Washington Commanders. Listen to this.
I love the East Coast, but I think the West Coast is better for me right now. I got my whole family over here. So, you know, I'm from Richmond. I know what you mean. I got people hitting me up every day, but all my friends and all that from East Coast. But Seattle is the place that I'm at right now, and I love it, and it's great.
Marcus, your reaction to Russell Wilson and talking about the demographics on where to stay.
I don't know, Kev. I know I'm supposed to have answers. I don't know. Okay? Russell Wilson to me is one of those guys where it's about determining if you think your team in Seattle can get good enough to be contenders and try to win the Super Bowl, or you can make life very easy on yourself and find a potential suitor that you'll already be in the playoff conversation with. I think that's what it boils down to with Russell Wilson. But I don't be believing Russell Wilson, y'all. Russell Wilson is a politician, man. Russell Wilson know how to sell this thing. They will decide, him and Sierra and their family will decide what's best for them based on football, obviously, but also based on where Russell Wilson thinks he has the best chance to have a successful on and off the field career. Where would that be bolstered? And maybe that is Seattle, but I don't think it's 100%. I'm a Seattle Seahawk if you Russell Wilson a year removed from putting teams that he would like to be traded to.
When you look at this Seattle roster, they have a ton of holes everywhere.
And when they're not ready.
When you look at teams that have the assets to make a move for Russell Wilson, it feels like it's multiple first-round picks. Mike T, I want to get your thoughts. This feels like the Eagles could come in here and make a trade, and they can get a quarterback, and they can send Jalen Hurts and two ones to Seattle.
Mr. Philly!
What do you think of that, Mike T?
Mr. Philly!
Kevin, is there a team that you know of that has three first-round picks, a good young defense, a really solid offensive line that could use a quarterback that they loved in 2012 when he came out? Can you think of a team that possibly could fit that criteria?
And they have an offensive line that could protect a quarterback that we haven't seen in Seattle for years. And Marcus, you're laughing at me, but this feels like a perfect fit for what Seattle needs and what the Eagles need right now.
And just to put some more meat on the bones, I agree with what you just said about where Seattle is in the NFC West. When you think about the Rams, the 49ers, and the Cardinals are better than they are. And if you could get two or three first-round picks, now you could start your rebuild. If you're Philadelphia, even teams like Washington, New Orleans, Pittsburgh, you're a quarterback away from being a meaningful contender.
Yeah.
So I think absolutely he gets traded. And guys, 12 teams need starting quarterbacks. There's no answer in this year's draft. Maybe Kenny Pickett at some point, maybe Malik Willis. But those quarterbacks will be in such demand when we talk about Russell Wilson, even guys like, believe it or not, like Mitch Trubisky, Ryan Fitzpatrick, there's not enough of them. So Russell Wilson to Philly, Kevin, makes a ton of sense to me.
Well, when you mentioned Washington, they don't have multiple first-round picks. You mentioned Pittsburgh, they don't have multiple first-round picks. Swagoo, my vibe here, again, Philadelphia has three. I don't think Howie Roseman would give up three first-rounders.
Kev,
what would be the value in your mind here in giving up picks for a guy like Russell Wilson?
Kev, listen, bro, I'm not. I'm joking with you, but I don't disagree. Like, and you know what else? To your point, like, Philly was a playoff team this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it's not like we having a conversation about a team that we don't feel like can be crazy upgraded with Russell Wilson at quarterback. And I love Jalen Hurts. Don't get it twisted. I think Jalen Hurts is going to continue to get better to become a quarterback. But in the right now, yeah, if you can go get Russell Wilson and you think you're that close because you were a playoff team, I would do it. I don't think it's crazy at all, Kel.
Jeff, what are your thoughts about this crazy idea that I'm throwing out there? For some, it's crazy. I'm glad Marcus is on my side considering how you started this morning. Yeah.
First of all, my thoughts are that Swagoo said that Russell Wilson is a politician. Kevin Negandhi should run for president with this politic thing that's happening right now. This is unbelievable. That's in his chair. I mean, you probably gave Greeny some sort of food that made him sick so that you could get in that chair just for this moment to start this narrative and fuel this storyline to will it to happen.
But it makes sense.
That's all I got to say.
The proposal makes sense. I got Mike Tannenbaum agreeing with me. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. Greeny deserves a day off every now and then, okay? Like, the man works nonstop carrying the network. All right. We've got highlights coming your way where the Lakers, they may be feeling sick, their fan base, after watching another performance here with LeBron James trying to lead them really on his own in the third quarter, pulling up in the logo, dropping the triple. Lakers on a second half run. The Mavs were expecting to get 22-7 run here, and they would outscore the Mavericks 31-14 in the quarter. They were up by two going into the final period, and then Luka said enough is enough. Luka taking over, a little step back, fall away. Come on, unguardable. Are you kidding me? And then Luka again, little floater delivering. The Mavs win. LeBron with the message.
Until you stump me out, cut my head off, bury me 12 feet under, then I got a chance. So that's my confidence. As long as we got more games to play, we still have a chance. You know, I hate losing. I feel like poop right now. But tomorrow's a new day, and I'm going to be prepared and ready for the Clippers on Thursday. But that's my mindset. That's just who I am.
Great to have Jalen Rose joining us now. And Jalen, we know LeBron. When he says something, he means something. Everything is calculated. And that message didn't feel like it was just to the media or to the fans. It felt like it was a message to the locker room. Your reaction to what he said post-game after another loss?
Kevin, it definitely was a message to the locker room. These Lakers are 27-34 on the season. They have a worse record than the Clippers, who are not using Kawhi Leonard or Paul George. While Anthony Davis is out and going into All-Star break, there were some rumblings about LeBron's future, and rightfully so. How many times do you get the chance to be in a GOAT conversation, but also have a son that you may have a chance to play with and or against in the NBA? Not very often. And so when he says that he might play his final year somewhere else, he now understands the other 14 guys hear that. And they're like, wait a minute, if our leader is having one foot out of the door, we may not need to show up and play as hard as we need to play. It's just human nature. And so these Lakers now needed LeBron to do what he did, go back to the podium and allow them to know that he's committed, which he's under contract clearly this year and for next year. There's no getting around this. They invested in the Laker championship. They got it in the bubble with LeBron. I just don't believe that this story franchise will win another championship with LeBron on the team.
All right, during the highlights, we focus on the third quarter and LeBron dropping the triples and basically carrying this team. But in the second quarter, if you interpret body language, we're talking about a team that has a ton of veterans. Let's go to this sequence here where he wants the ball inside multiple times. And Malik Monk taking the outside shot. But I want to talk to you about what you see when they get the board and then the defensive transition. What are you seeing?
What I'm seeing is a Lakers team that's splintered. When you're defeated overall, Kevin, and you know that you're the play-in Lakers, those are the effort plays that you see on tape. And led by LeBron James. He's not excluded from this conversation. Look at the standings, Kevin. When you look at a team like the Denver Nuggets, Jokic has been dominant this year without Murray and Michael Porter Jr. went out. But he's still young. How about Luka? The exact same thing. Did you see how he looked when LeBron got switched on him last night? He looked like, oh, I got an old man on me. it's my chance to shine. Mm-hmm. And that's what he was doing. And so again, I applaud LeBron and the effort that he's played with overall, and the stats that he's put up have been outstanding. However, this Laker team is a first round exit if they make it to the playoffs, and LeBron James's effort, along with the rest of his teammates, is a major catalyst for it.
You mentioned out west a bunch of young gun stars that we see, and we cannot do a show without mentioning one of the guys that has dominated the conversation over the last 48 hours, and that is Ja Morant. That is Ja Morant. Let's bring in Marcus Spears. And I want to know, you know, Marcus, your thoughts on this, because you're also our extra basketball expert. Shoot, you did a highlight at the top of the hour all by yourself. I got Jalen here. I got Marcus here. I got Ja Morant and what he did a couple nights ago. Of course, setting the record for Memphis with 52 points. It's two specific plays. We've got the dunk and we've got the game, the buzzer beating shot there in the first half to go into halftime. Which is better? Which play is better, Marcus, starting with you? The dunk or the buzzer beater before halftime?
I'm going buzzer beater before halftime. I think the degree of difficulty of that one, Jay Rose, was for me. Like I know the dunk and it's gonna get everybody out of their seat, the bench clearing, but that catch and shot, bro, was harder than him just taking off and dunking on the big fella who was already scared he was gonna get dunked on before Ja took off. I go with the catch and the shot, man.
Hey, Kevin, when I look at Ja Morant, he has the charisma and the body type of Allen Iverson.
Yes.
But he has the explosiveness of Derrick Rose. And D-Rose, I agree with Marcus. It's the baseline shot, and here's why. When you see him go do that dunk over Jakob Poeltl, he's going to do that on multiple people again and again and again in his career. That play right there is almost like a Grant Hill to Christian Laettner type throw by Adams.
Yes.
He has to catch the ball. He has to shoot the ball before he hits the ground, and it has to be a buzzer beater. So all of those factors went into play. And lastly, as he was attacking on the dunk, if you could show that dunk again, mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys ever play slap boxing in the street. It always ends up in a fight. That's Ja Morant to
in
me.
In a fight.
He the guy that you think y'all slap boxing, but he really fighting. And that's what he reminds me of. And I appreciate that. He got his daughter at the post-game conference. He got his team colors in his hair. He's like lovable and likable. But then all of a sudden, y'all get out there on the floor, and he like taking off and dunking on you and making you look crazy.
By the way, I do love the Iverson body type and then the idea of bringing up Derrick Rose, but he has the finish and the anger like Russell Westbrook. Like, he's angry at the rim each time in the lane. And I'm going with the dunk for one reason only, because the 2022 slam dunk contest stunk. And that was just a couple weeks ago. And let's just crown Ja Morant as the 2022 slam dunk winner. Because if you do that in a real game over a big man, come on. Like, that to me is bigger and better considering how bad the slam dunk contest was.
It's more exciting, Kev. It's not the degree. Oh, go ahead, Jay. Go ahead, Jay.
No, you're right. It's more exciting, but I'm with you on the degree of difficulty. But here's the elephant in the room that people aren't saying about the dunk contest. If you want to fix the dunk contest, it's really simple. Have the players that are participating in the All-Star game on Sunday actually grow, build, and sacrifice for the game and participate in the dunk contest on Saturday. That's
here.
The fix.
Oh, I love
just
it.
Said it. Players like Ja Morant.
I love it.
Being a dunk contest on Saturday. Then it looks a lot different. When they were trying to grow the league, Dr. J, Michael Jordan, Dominique Wilkins, Vince Carter, those players sacrificed All-Star Weekend, participated in a dunk contest while also playing in the All-Star
game. And the winner for those guys gets seven figures. Give an incentive there because everybody's watching. No doubt about it. Jalen,
no
Marcus,
doubt.
Appreciate
I'm gonna try
you.
To get
money,
in
money, money, more money, well, more money.
I'm writing checks for Marcus's account. That's why I can say that. Seven figures. Appreciate you. Our NBA Wednesday doubleheader on ESPN and the app. Joel Embiid and James Harden making his Philly debut. Sixers hosting the Knicks tonight, 7:30 Eastern. Then out west, the top team in the NBA, the Suns, led by Devin Booker, hosting the Blazers. Our coverage starts with NBA Countdown at 7 Eastern. Coming up, what's the deal with Carson Wentz? What should the Colts do with him? It seems like not everyone's on the same page in Indy. This is Get Up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Kevin Agani back in for Greeny. Get Up continues. Indy's the place to be for the NFL right now with the combine and a big storyline. Let's go out there with the future of Colts QB. Carson Wentz very much in doubt after their late season collapse. Yesterday, Chris Ballard, the GM, and head coach Frank Wright addressing Wentz's future with the team. And listen to these comments.
I know I'm going to get a lot of questions about Carson right now, and I don't have a direct answer for you. We're working through it. I mean, ultimately, you got to have a guy that you believe in and you can win with. I'm not saying we don't, but in the long-term best interest for us, I think as we sit down and work through whether Carson's the long-term best answer or not is the best way I can put it.
You know, I believe in him. I stuck my neck out for him. You know, I stuck my neck out for him. So, you know, last year I was a big part of that decision to get him here. And so, you know, I believe he's going to continue. I believe he's going to continue to have a lot of success at quarterback. That might be here. It might not be here. That decision has yet to be determined.
Wow. Like, we're going to get to Darlington and Spears in a moment. But when you hear those comments coming from an ally in Frank Wright, the head coach, and Chris Ballard, the GM who made the move, the trade with Philly last year. I don't speak GM. Mike T, you do. What exactly are they saying between the lines?
Yeah, communication isn't what's said, it's what's heard. And they're moving on from Carson Wentz because they knew the question was coming and they could have just unequivocally said, he's our guy, bumping the road against Vegas and Jacksonville the last two games, and we're moving forward with Carson Wentz. They gave up multiple picks, including a first-round pick this year. Candidly, I'm a little bit surprised because they have a good team, and I think he is their best option. I was really surprised by their answers yesterday that they just didn't back him and say, hey, we may add competition, we may draft somebody else. So by Chris Ballard and Frank Wright coming out, and I give them a lot of credit for sort of like being candid the way they were, I don't think he's coming back because, again, they could have just put all the speculation. They could have quelled it and just said, he's our guy. And that's the last thing they did yesterday.
When you look at Wentz's history, he does not handle internal criticism well. So with this being public, that is a big storyline. Jeff, what are you hearing about Wentz's future in Indy right now?
Well, look, I think that, you know, you just said it. They were being candid there. And I think that we should actually, in this case, take them at their word. I think they laid it out very honestly what the situation is. And if you do want to read between the lines, it is if we can find a better option than Carson Wentz, we're going with that option. But look, they still have to find that option. We are under, I know Chris Mortensen has reported this. I continue to hear the same thing. It feels likely that the team will move on from Carson Wentz, whether through trading him or releasing him. But again, they've got to find the guy to replace him with. And until that happens, I actually believe what these guys are saying. If this is a scenario where it's basically, he's out.
Marcus,
at some point.
So who's that guy, especially when we're talking about the QB market and a dozen teams looking for starting quarterbacks? Who's the guy in Indy if they're a player away?
All the conventional guys that we've been talking about, the Aaron Rodgers of the world, the Russell Wilsons of the world, all of these teams with the potential moves to move on from quarterback. I'll throw another one in there. Maybe Matt Ryan. I know he has a big cap number. And Matt Ryan didn't play terrible. I think he would be a significant upgrade over Carson Wentz. Here's the thing, too, reading between the lines, to your point, Jeff Darlington. It was very telling to me when Frank Reich spoke in past tense when he said, I stuck my neck out for him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? That's a big statement,
great
bro.
Call.
Especially when you got the GM not being committal to bringing Carson Wentz back. And this is one thing I want to remind people of, too, with this particular situation, why the Colts are like this. We can't forget that 2 years ago, this team made a playoff run with Phillip Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
They thought that they were getting an upgrade, at least to get in the playoffs. I want to repeat, the Indianapolis Colts did not make the playoffs because they couldn't beat the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, my gosh.
We're just going to keep it there. That week 18, all you got to beat the Jaguars and you can't do it. It looked really, really bad. We'll see how that plays out, guys. Thank you. First Take coming up next. Does Kyler Murray deserve a new contract? Did LeBron make a mistake coming to L.A.? It's First Take with Molly, Stephen A., and Chris Mad Dog Russo. That's ahead.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
UFC 272, part of a spectacular Saturday in sports. Here's a look at the lineup we have for you. The Blackhawks squaring off against the Flyers, 3 Eastern on ABC, North Carolina and Duke on ESPN. Coach K's final game inside Cameron Indoor. Steph, Clay, and the Warriors taking on LeBron and the Lakers on ABC and the main card at UFC 272, starting 10 Eastern, ESPN pay-per-view. That'll do it for us. By the way, College Game Day as well, live from Durham on Saturday. First Take is next. Enjoy your Wednesday.